I almost feel like the sermon has already been preached. Jesse, thank you so much. And Shauna, for your reading of the scripture. I'm going to pull this up. My wife told me this morning, she said, if you don't pull it high enough, I'm going to come up and pull it up for you. My talk this morning is entitled Seek Ye First, and obviously it was taken out of the scripture. It's part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, based on Matthew 6, 25 through 34. And we'll be reading all those verses this morning, so have your Bibles at the ready. People seek many different things as we look around in life. People are seeking love and acceptance. Many are seeking money and success, and fame, security, power. But it's all empty unless we are seeking God. God wants us to seek Him first. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? I need to pray for myself. Our Father in heaven, we ask you this morning that you will be with me. Give me the words to speak. May they be the words that you want spoken here this morning. And we ask that you would help us all to understand what is spoken this morning. And we ask that we all be able to do it in our lives because we know that we can do nothing of ourselves. So we come to you and ask for grace and power that we may live our lives in the right way. We ask these things in thy name. Amen. Let's read Matthew. Yes. That's hot. Is that better? Okay. I sometimes feel between my glasses and the shape of my ears, this thing is just kind of perched on there. Okay, Matthew 6, 25 and 26 to start with. Let me get my Bible open here. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor for your body what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat and body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? That is the question he asks here. Are we not much better than they? And I would say yes. God loves us with a tremendous, unending love. We are told he knew us before we were born. He knows the number of hairs on our head. And he numbers our days. Jesus came down to this world and lived a sinless life among us. And he died a cruel death on the cross to save us. Getting back to talking about the birds, does God call us to be idle just because he's going to take care of us? No. Birds are not idle. They are constantly working, building nests. They're feeding their young and raising them and teaching them to be a full-grown bird. When I was studying this Proverbs 6:6 came to mind. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. And ants are very busy and industrious. Does God want us to plan for our future? Yes, He does. God can provide for us in an infinite number of ways. He gives us opportunities. He gives us health and strength. He provides work. He arranges situations to our favor. I've always found it interesting when I pray about something and then leave it in God's hands. Oftentimes, He works it out in a way that I never thought of and is so much better than I could have come up with. Let's read on in Matthew 6:27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? One cubit in the Bible is about 18 inches, they think. How many of us worry? I think everybody does. It seems only human. And these days, there's plenty to worry about. It seems like an endless list. God does not call us to worry endlessly. It doesn't do us any good. It only creates stress. I'd like to read for you a quote from the Mount of Blessings. It's page 77 it's found on. When we take into our hands the management of things which we have to do and depend upon our own wisdom for success, we are taking a burden which God is not giving us. We are trying to bear it without His aid. We are taking upon ourselves a responsibility that belongs to God. And thus we are really putting ourselves in His place. We may well have anxiety and anticipate danger and loss, for it is certain to befall us. But when we really believe that God loves us and means us to do good, we shall cease to worry about the future. We shall trust God as a child trusts a loving parent. Then our troubles and our torments will disappear, for our will is swallowed up in the will of God. God does not call us to worry. He wants to be free from endless worry. Let's read on to Matthew 6:28-29. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. Turn the page here. For they grow, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Let's read about Solomon for a moment and see what God promised to Solomon. Let's turn over to 2 Chronicles 1, 7 through 12. Give everybody a moment to get there. Just a little bit of the backstory to where we're going to read. Solomon and all the congregation had gone up near the beginning of his reign to worship God at Jerusalem. And Solomon was worshiping God and sacrificing to God. And God came to him in the night. And let's read what God said to him. Verse 7. In that night did God appear unto Solomon, and said unto him, What shall I give unto thee? And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O God, let thy promise unto David my father be established. For thou hast made me a king over people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before the people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said to Solomon, This was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked for riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies. Neither yet hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings that have been before thee, neither shall there be any after thee the like. So how rich was Solomon? I looked this up in Google, and in today's dollars, his net worth was $2.1 trillion. So just how much is a trillion? 1 trillion is 1,000 billion. We kind of lose sight of that, I think, because we talk about our national debt so much, how many trillion it is. It becomes a little ordinary. Let's compare that to some of today's richest men. Leading the list is Bernard Arnault at $231 billion. Next comes Jeff Bezos at $203 billion. They're not even a quarter of the way there. Does God keep his promises? Yes, he does. Is he capable of providing for us? Yes, he is. Let's read on in Matthew 6, 30 through 33. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, excuse me, I lost my place. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or where shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. If we put God first and trust him, if you make him first in your life, he is promising that he will take care of us, that he will provide for us. He can take care of tomorrow. It is not too hard for him. Let's go ahead and read Matthew 6:33. Take therefore, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Again, God does not want us to spend time worrying about tomorrow, what might be or could be. I have one more quote here I'd like to read. It starts on page 77, the Mount of Blessings. Christ Christ has given no promise of help in bearing today the burdens of tomorrow. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." But like the manna given in the wilderness, his grace is bestowed daily. For today's need, like the host of Israel in their pilgrim life, we may find morning by morning the bread of heaven for the day's supply. Like the children of Israel, if they tried to go out and gather manna for more than one day, it ended up spoiling. I think God was trying to teach them a lesson that he could provide for them day by day. The only day they were permitted to do that was Friday, so they would have something for Sabbath. God is faithful. He will provide for us and take care of us if we put him first in our lives. Shall we go ahead with our closing song, number 99? God loves us with an unending love. He wants to be first and best in our lives. He has promised to take care of us and to save us. He wants to be our close and best friend. I'm reminded of what he says in Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will open the door and will come in to him and sup with him and he with me." So we bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, we ask now that you will bless us and go with us as we leave. Help us to make you first and best in our lives. In everything that we see, say, and do, we ask these things in thy name. Amen. just recovering from a cold, so you might not want to shake my hand.